Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
After the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to check out my blog when you get there. Jim's blog is right there on the homepage, or go to jimsblog.biz. And don't forget when you're at my website to subscribe to my free newsletter. And as I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, when I started doing this show in 1997, one of the very first guests, I'm pretty sure it was the first week I was on the air, I interviewed a really smart lady on family businesses. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg was one of my first guinea pigs, and incredibly, I know you're amazed at this, folks, she's continued to come back after all these years, even after that first week. And I promise you, I don't want to go back and listen to what my interview sounded like the first week on the air. But she's our good friend. She's the author of Your Family, Inc. She is one of the world's experts on family business and all the dynamics that are involved in a family business. Ellen, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, and thank you for after all these years, continuing to come back.
Sure, it's fun.
Well, I appreciate that. Ellen, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is something that probably a lot of people don't want to talk about, and that's any kind of a dependency that folks have in a business, whether it be the owners or the family, members of the family or employees. And I know specifically, I guess we'll talk initially about alcoholism. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's a huge problem in the U.S. Culture, as you may know, and it gets passed from one generation to the next very readily. Certainly in college campuses, it's a way of life.
And yesterday, Princeton released their number one party school list.
Right.
And it was Madison, University of Madison, Wisconsin, I guess it was. It was the number one. And so that was a big deal. I guess that's where the beer flows the most freely.
Right. And I think a lot of college kids are functional alcoholics. They get drunk every weekend. And a lot of them can get out of that and go on and lead responsible adult lives
right
when they leave the campus. But some get hooked, and it becomes a lifelong chronic problem. And it affects the family business. And so being aware of the drinking patterns in your own family can be a critical part of your business planning.
Don't we now know that some people are genetically predisposed to be dependent on anything, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever? They just have a genetic, I don't want to call it a defect, but a genetic predisposition toward that?
Certainly. And if there is a history.
And it's hereditary.
There is a factor there that certainly if there is a history of alcoholism somewhere in the family, then I think your kids need to be alerted to that and so they can be aware that they have something of a risk. And also the environmental issues, the stimulation is everywhere, the ads, mm-hmm. the expectation that drinking is normal. I think one of the things that's interesting in terms of the medical profession is that the new standard is that if a man drinks more than 14 drinks a week, that's more than two a day, or if a woman, typically smaller body size, drinks more than seven drinks a week, then they are becoming at risk for some other kinds of health-related problems.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Or more than four drinks on a single occasion. That is the medical standard. Where
now, when you say drinks, are you including a glass of wine?
A glass of wine, a beer. There's as much alcohol in a glass of beer as there is in a shot of bourbon.
Right.
But you just drink it more slowly.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that standard is a wake-up call for a lot of people, I believe.
Four, would you say five, seven for women?
Seven per week.
That's per week. So seven glasses of wine, seven beers. Of course, I don't think a glass of wine is the same as a 12-ounce bottle of beer or something. But still, we take your meaning. And you're not saying that makes a person an alcoholic. You're just saying that it's likely to manifest in health-related problems in the future.
I'm saying in the medical field, that is the standard that physicians are now being asked to consider on a physical, and that more than one a day, or more than four or five on one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly body weight and circumstances. I do agree with you, Jim. A glass of wine with a meal, you know, that can be a lovely thing to do. But when there's a compulsion and the individual can't stop after one or two glasses,
right.
That's when it becomes a red flag.
What is the? Is there a definition of alcoholism, Ellen?
My definition of alcoholism is that when someone has problems, whether they're in relationships or in job performance or legal problems, financial problems, because of alcohol, and they don't stop drinking.
Or what about if when something happens that is upsetting to them or stressful to them, they turn to alcohol every time?
A lot of people do use alcohol to solve emotional problems, but that means that And that's a red flag. Some people drink when they're happy. They drink when they're sad. They drink, you know, because it's Friday. They drink because it's a holiday.
You know,
there are
Ellen,
lots of reasons people can find to drink excessively.
Not to make light of the situation, but I do have to think about myself and as a small business owner, and I think I probably speak for a lot of other small business owners. There are times when things got so tough. There have been times when things got so tough that I remember thinking, I wish I was a drinking man.
Right.
And the thing is, sadly, that happens to a lot of people, and that's what happens. They are drinking men, so to speak, and they go and they do that, and that's where they drown their sorrows. So talk to us about how it manifests in the workplace and the kind of problems it creates.
Well, if someone is showing up persistently late, if they have more difficulty, there used to be a saying, don't buy a car that was built on a Monday. Sometimes, you know, after the weekend, they are less able to concentrate, they're less efficient, and more irritable, difficulty managing relationships in a positive way, not being able to produce. I think that's a key.
Right.
And the
also that, you know, there's the issue of the actual, you know, evidence when you're around them, being able to smell it on them. And of course, some of these people touch customers. When we come back, Ellen's going to help us. If you have a situation like this in your small business, we'll come back. Ellen's going to help you deal with that. That's coming up right after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassie, and we also have a phone number to call too, please, and we'll give you that when we come back after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Don't let your troubles make you cry. Don't waste a moment wondering why. When everything goes wrong, you have to go on and do it all night.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I know that's how you feel sometimes. You got to do it or die. And that's the way it is in small businesses. Sometimes we feel that way. And sometimes the do it or die attitude creates some pressures on us. And sometimes those pressures manifest as behavior that becomes unhealthy. It becomes dangerous. It becomes unproductive. It hurts a lot of folks, including ourselves. And, of course, I'm talking about any kind of dependency upon alcohol or drugs or anything like that. Maybe even, you know, food. Who knows? Ellen Frankenberg is our guest and our good friend and original member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Your Family, Inc. She is one of the top experts in the country on family businesses and the dynamics around those kinds of relationships. Ellen, give us your website and tell us how we can get your book, please.
The website is www.frankenberggroup.com, and there's information on the book at the website, and I'll be happy to answer an email from anyone.
I appreciate
Ellen
that.
At frankenberggroup.com.
And Ellen at frankenberggroup.com. Folks, Ellen, I appreciate you making that available. You could I'm sure that there are some people out there who would like to ask you a question, and I will tell you something else, folks. Ellen is in the confidence business. Whatever you tell her, whatever you ask her, I promise you will not go anywhere else.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's interesting, Jim, is that everyone may not be aware of is that alcohol is a depressant. So if you're really having a bad day, taking too many drinks, and we're not talking about a glass of wine or a glass of beer or something that you're enjoying of an evening, we're talking about excessive drinking, it is a depressant. It does reduce inhibition, so some people can go to a party and be more outgoing after a drink or two, but it is a depressant, and it will make you feel worse in the long run.
Eventually, if not immediately. Ellen, what do we do? Let's say that we have a family member in the business, or even somebody who's just a good employee and they're like family, and we think that they've become an alcoholic. What do we do about something like that?
Well, the studies show that the most effective person to get an individual into help for any kind of substance abuse problem is the boss. And sometimes the boss is also a father or a grandfather to this person.
Or a mentor.
Right. And so I think if the boss can describe behavior, you know, you've been late the last 3 days, there's a change in the way you operate.
I can smell it on you in the morning when you come in. You can't wait on my customers like that.
Right. And we're going to start to do, with appropriate legal advice, some screenings around here, because you can't keep driving that forklift.
Right. When you're the truck out on the highway.
Under the influence. And you need to get help. Certainly Alcoholics Anonymous is an enormous resource. It's all over the country. It's very... virtually no cost except any donation that someone wants to give. There is a national help number, 1-800-662-HELP.
We're going to give that out again in a little bit, folks, before Ellen goes. Say that again.
It's a resource for programs, but I think describing behaviors to an individual in a confidential setting, especially any kind of change in behavior, and giving them a clear message that you will not tolerate continued abuse of substances in the workplace. You can't have such an individual moving heavy equipment. You can't have them dealing with customers.
Driving your trucks.
Right.
And by the way, folks, that number goes to the National Drug and Alcohol Treatment Referral Routing Service, and that's 800-662-HELP. Ellen, what if it's the boss?
Well, that's a tough question, isn't it? Because ideally there is a board also in place that can assume some authority in that kind of a problem.
In most small businesses, that doesn't exist.
Right. But those around the boss, the secretary may not have the courage. The wife certainly, or the husband certainly knows that behavior has changed. But a candid conversation... you can't really, hiding the bottles or pretending there is no problem. We talk about the elephant in the living room.
Right.
Sometimes there's this huge problem that's affecting everyone in the business, but everyone tiptoes around it, even though it is an enormous problem. Frank conversations, giving people information about where to get help.
How does an employee do that, though?
I think an employee can do it with a peer. I think an employee can work with a supervisor if they become aware of the problem. I think if there is, again, I'm saying this, the laws are different in different states, but maybe random testing in a company where people are operating precise equipment or trucks on the highway. Maybe there is some kind of random screening that would be an ordinary way if there's a nephew or a grandson who is...
Ellen, let me stop you. I apologize because I want to do one thing before you go. Folks, Ellen helps a lot of family businesses, not just on things like what we're talking about, but on just getting better. You're already pretty good, but getting better in your family dynamic in your business. And I encourage you to check it out and talk to her about that. Ellen, give us the website one more time, please.
www.frankenberggroup.com.
Frankenberggroup.com. And the email again, please.
Ellen@frankenberggroup. And I'd be glad to talk to you and help you make your business better.
Thank you, Ellen. I appreciate that very much. Ellen Frankenberg, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.